Homajnanatimadannasyajnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam dhena tasmai shri gurave namah.
Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all the great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis assembled here today. Anyone who comes running when there's the mention of the discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam is a great soul. There's no doubt about it. So I'm very happy to be here with all of you today. First of all, I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who's saved the whole world by bringing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to everybody in the world. And without whose mercy, we would not have the opportunity we have today. Hare Krishna. And is this a regular group that you all have? You get together regularly and discuss Bhagavatam? Is that the idea?
Yes, Guru Maharaj, basically Sachirani Mataji, she's looking after the group in terms of the cyber of Srimad Bhagavatam reading. So a lot of devotees are from that Sangha, which she every Thursday does whole using the technology like Zoom, and in a very creative way she does that. And it was their desire to put something together to drive more inspiration for Bhagavatam. So those of you, I'm sure most of you know, but His Grace Vaishnavika Prabhu lives in US, in California. And he's initiating spiritual master, author of a wonderful book called Our Family Business. And he's travels all over the world inspiring the community on this moment of Sankirtan, moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are very privileged and fortunate to have his association and the association of Her Grace Nirakula Mataji, who's also the co-author of the wonderful book called The Higher Taste, the book which we are always distributing out in the world. So we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome them by three loud Hari Bols.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Three Hari Bols right back at you. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Amaravishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadatmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. And if you're either uncomfortable or you can't hear out, there's plenty of room in here. We've met as many as 1,000 people in this room previously. Yeah, Mahaprabhu used to do this. He'd cram everybody in one room. So, today we're talking about the life lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted by all the acharyas as the foremost of all transcendental literatures. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Manjusha, and which tells of the main tenets of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. It says, Aradyo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kacharupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Vokalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prima Pumarto Mahan. So he says that Sri Vrindavan Dham and Lord Krishna are non-different, and that the highest method of worshipping Krishna, which is that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan, the foremost authority on all spiritual matters is the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the ultimate goal of life is to attain pure love for God. It's helpful just as a lesson in and of itself to note that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are synonymous with the Bhagavatam and vice versa. And Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha shows how the teachings of how the Bhagavatam is the topmost of all the literatures. As it's said in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam. It's the fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And the ultimate goal of any tree, of course, is to produce a fruit. The ultimate goal of the Vedas is to produce the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by going into the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, one can attain the perfection of life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu follows the teachings of the Bhagavatam and the mood of the Bhagavatam and all of his teachings to Srila Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami and his other disciples. And we find also that the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the topmost literature for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is but a string of verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the pramanam in that book is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Several other scriptures as well, but the main supporting points are from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So taking some lessons that are practical that we can go away with. First of all, in the first canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the place where we can take ultimate shelter. And this is very important because everyone's searching for some kind of shelter, because we're in an unstable situation here in the material world, and every living entity needs shelter. So early on in the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says, Apana samsutim goran yannama vivisho grinan tato sadhya vimucheta yabhipeti swayam bayam. And this is the way in which he says that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. There's no difference whatsoever. And for those who wish to overcome samsritim, that means the samsara, or the repeated birth and death in the material world, the means to do so is by taking shelter of the holy name. In fact, Prabhupada goes on to mention in that purport that in any dangerous situation, one can take advantage of the holy name by calling out the Lord's name very loudly. You could try it.
Hare Krishna!
Of course, that wasn't very loud, but anyway, you said the holy name. You know, I have a friend, dear devotee in our congregation, Damodar Vamsidhari Prabhu. Whenever anything happens, like a picture fall off the wall, something, and he goes, "Oh, Jagannath!" He's always, his mind is always ready to say the name of the Lord. "Oh, Jagannath!" Generally, when we swerve off the road, I notice I go, "Whoa!" I don't know which planet that is, but one has to practice taking shelter of the holy name throughout one's lifetime. And understand this doctrine of the holy name. The holy name is everything. And not only that, all the Vedas are there. The summation of all the Vedas is there in the holy name. There's really nothing else to do or anywhere to go if one becomes absorbed in the holy name and gets a taste for the holy name. This is the what all the Vedas are pointing to. In fact, in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, which is which mentions by name the Hare Krishna mantra, it says Sarva Vedishu Drishyate, that all the Vedas are actually pointing us towards this mantra, coming to this point. And anybody who knows what the Vedas are meant for comes to this conclusion. They're about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And ultimately, the name of Krishna is even more merciful than Krishna himself. Rupa Goswami says, Vacham Vachakam Ityu Deity Bhavato Dvayam Swarupa Dvayam. He says that the Krishna and the holy name are non-different, and then he says something astounding, that actually they are different. He said, because the holy name is more merciful than Krishna himself, even though they're the same. And why is that? Because if one has offended Krishna and is separated from him somehow or other, the holy name will come to us. It comes to every part of the world, every region, from top to down in the material world, and avails himself to the conditioned souls. And if someone just says Hare Krishna, then that person then becomes reconnected with the holy name. So the holy name, he says, is more merciful than Krishna. So one of the first life lessons that we get from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the very first chapter is that one should take full shelter of the holy name. And it's important to establish this early on in one's spiritual life, that there's nothing else to do or nowhere else to go. Of course, there's spiritual variety and there are spiritual things to do, but we should fix our minds on the holy name. Prabhupada noticed this at one time, that he said it's a very simple process, just chant Hare Krishna. He said, but now I notice that many of my disciples are collecting piles of austere books. There's a way in which somebody goes to Rasa Bihari Lal's in Lohi Bazaar, down at Louis, and goes into the shop and sees all these Puranas and this book, that book, and he let me get piles of books and pile them up somewhere. Of course, nobody really has time to read more, I think, than the full Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. If you actually go deeply within all these books, like you are doing, you won't have time for so many books. And not only that, as Prabhupada noted, rather than trying to get an edge, like reading every book in the universe, take advantage of chanting the holy name of the Lord. He's given everything just through the holy name. So that's a first lesson. We have a couple comments, a means of reflection. Anything that you'd like to reflect back about the first life lesson? You weren't expecting that, were you? That's why we do it. Yes. The holy name and Krishna are the same, but the holy name is more merciful than Krishna. Rupa Goswami says in his Namashtaka. And the reason he says is because even if you've offended the person Krishna, the name will come to you. And if you chant the holy name, then you can overcome all your offenses. And again, he says, be merged in the ocean of bliss by chanting the holy name. And the name follows us wherever we go. A devotee I know who grew up in the Hare Krishna movement, when he was 16, he had what seems to be almost a requisite identity crisis. Went off to high school, changed his name to something else. His name was a beautiful name of Krishna. And then he changed his name to something else just to fit in, which is understandable. At high school, so he wasn't harassed. One day he was stopping off at his parents' house to pick up a jacket with his friends, and as he was walking out the door, his mother called out his devotee name. And when he got back on the street, his friend said, "Hey, what was that?" And he said, "Oh, that's my spiritual name." And they said, "We like that one better." And they started calling him by that name. And then gradually, like all over the school, everyone was calling him the name, and then they'd come up and say, "Hey, tell us more about that." And then he found himself, sitting on a bench teaching Krishna consciousness to a bunch of people. There are more details to that story. It's an intriguing story, but it was one in which he realized how the holy name pulled him back in, even though he had purposefully kind of separated himself from his identity as a devotee. The holy name took him by the hand and pulled him back in. In fact, at the very end of the Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you'll find that he writes a beautiful poem in which he's describing the ecstatic symptoms one experiences when chanting the holy name without any offense in pure love for God. And then he says that the holy name comes to me and takes me by the hand and brings me back to Goloka Vrindavan and introduces me to Krishna and my relationship with him. And this is a verse that often is used to show that the path of Raghahanuga Bhakti is and can be completed by the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as we're following the Vaidhi Bhakti process and chanting the holy name diligently. The holy name will do everything, including bringing us back to Godhead and introducing us to our relationship with Krishna. One more comment? Yeah.
Even if something falls.
Oh, Jagannath. It's just spontaneous for him. It's like, how do you do that? He's always thinking, the holy name is right on his lips. So virtually that's what that verse is saying. You should always keep the holy name on your lips. Don't be afraid to constantly chant the holy name. Always bring the holy name up to others. Speak it when there's danger, even, the verse says. Because fear personified is afraid of the holy name. So then, that's also in the second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, which has how many verses? How many? How many verses in the second chapter? 34. Everyone say 34. Say 34.
34.
Now say, get the 34. Say it with more enthusiasm. Get the 34. So everyone should, what means get the 34 means you should definitely memorize these 34 verses, which is not a difficult task if what you do is just recite the chapter every day for about a year. Some of you less. But if you do it for a year, recite the 34 verses, the second chapter, then you'll be walking around, they'll be starting to go through your head. And then you just take a little extra trouble to memorize the sequence of the verses, and then you'll be able to say all of them, each one after another. You can even do it as a group. It's a good practice. In fact, Prabhupada recommended in Hawaii, Barbara Cherini, God's sister, told us that when Prabhupada was giving a lecture there, he said after one class that he gave in the morning, that everyone should recite one chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. And everyone said, Jai Prabhupada. And he said, will you do it? And they said, yes, Prabhupada. Then he asked again, will you do it? He said, yes, Prabhupada. Again he asked, third time, will you do it? Yes, Prabhupada. She said, it was the most amazing offer because he said, if you do this every day, I guarantee you'll go back to Godhead. And then she said, even more amazing than that was nobody did it. So anybody can take advantage of this. The fact is the Bhagavatam is our sole refuge, the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the ways to stay really close to the Bhagavatam is by reciting at least one chapter of the Bhagavatam every day. And you can go through and learn all the important chapters. Like there's the Bhagavatam, Divinity and Divine Service. You can learn Queen Kunti's prayers. You can learn Rishabhadev's prayers. And there's so many notable verses there that you can just learn. And if you make that your preoccupation in life, then you'll always feel spiritual satisfaction. So confirmation of that comes in this second chapter. Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan satvatopati shrotavya kirtitavyascha dyeya pujascha nityada. This verse is a tasmad verse, which means therefore. It's giving a conclusion of many of the things that have been said in the first and the second chapters, and it says, therefore, with one pointed attention, one should hear about, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So throughout that chapter, as the verses that are central in that chapter were quoted by Srila Prabhupada many, many times. They're quoted he quotes them in the Gita, in various purports. For instance, in 7.1, which is one of the verses he spoke on more than any other verse in the Gita. You know the verse, right? Anyone know the verse? It's the verse, the Tatshrinu verse, where Krishna says, if you just hear about me, then you'll come to know everything. And in that verse, in the purport, he gives the sequence of verses from the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, starting off with Trushu Shro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Seveya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishavana. And this says that if you serve the great souls, then great service is done. And by doing that kind of service, you'll gain affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. This is by doing seva, especially preaching, showing compassion to others, then you'll start to develop a desire to hear about Krishna more and more. And this is the indication of spiritual health. The more one has an inclination to hear, the more one can understand one's advancement in devotional service, period. That's the main criteria for understanding our spiritual stature, that our mind is attracted to hearing the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, any of Krishna Katha. So the conclusion comes that it says, "Shushu Shoshadhanasya." If you serve the great souls, you'll get a desire to hear about Krishna, and then Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, etc. That's what this verse says. When you hear about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, then Krishna within the heart helps you. He helps to sort out all the anartas and get rid of them just by hearing the hearing process. Then it says that they're practically dissolved almost until nil, and then it describes further steps, tasmadi kena manasa bhagavanta, that tada rajas tamo bhava kama lubhadyaschaya. It means that the lower modes of nature become dissipated. And then, evam prasanna manaso, one's mind becomes happy and enlivened in devotional service. And vidyate hriya grantish, the knot in the heart is cut. So that all this can be attained by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of like-minded devotees who are more advanced than yourself. And by that process, regular process of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will step by step come to the perfect stage of devotional service. Does anybody else know a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, by hearing in the association of devotees, one step by step comes to the perfection of devotional service? Krami Krami, step by step, yeah. What's that? That's it. That's the one I had in my mind. You read my mind. Why don't you say the verse? Okay, you know this verse. Satam prasanna mamavirya sambhido bhavanti vikarna rasayana katha tajjo shanagashu apavargavarni shraddha bhakti anukramishriti. Anukramishriti, so krama krami, there's the krama in the verse at the very last word. Anukramishriti. Anu, this thing, it follows step by step. Anu Kramishyati. If you hear in the association of devotees, then you'll get Shraddha Bhakti Rati. The different stages of advancement in devotional service are kind of summarized in that. Step by step, you'll come to the highest stage. So nothing else is needed except for organizing one's life around this principle. Rupa Goswami also says this in the Upadeshamrita. Tanama rupa charitari sikirtananu smityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami kalam nayat akilam itu padesha sara. One should spend one's full time. You know, you have to organize your life so that you can hear, chant, and perform other devotional practices constantly. And by this, naturally, one will then come to aspire to follow in the footsteps of one of the residents of Vrindavan. Tishtan vraje tananuragi jananugami. And then one will actually become situated in Vrindavan. And there's an elaborate purport there in which Srila Prabhupada paraphrases the teachings of his spiritual master, in which he had given a summary of what this verse means. And in essence, just to be brief about it, it all starts with absorbing oneself in hearing. So the kind of sadhana that we do is dependent on absorbing ourselves in hearing as much as possible and being exposed to hearing as much as possible. Confirming what you're doing is an extremely good idea, coming together to regularly hear. And I'll say something about this regular hearing. Most of the verses that we note about hearing say that you should do it constantly, or any kind of practice of devotional service should be done constantly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And in the commentary, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur both say that because the acharyas don't recommend, or the scriptures don't recommend anything impractical, what this means, this constantly, for newer devotees, it means at least every day. Doesn't mean 24 hours a day. Maybe somebody can do that at some stage. But if you recommend that and say that that's the standard, then people will become discouraged because they'll think, I can't do that. So it says, they say, the acharyas, that at least every day you should have some regulated practice to hear. The great violinist Joshua Hevitz once said, if I don't practice one day, I notice it. If I don't practice 2 days, my teacher notices it. If I don't practice 3 days, everybody notices it. So if you don't hear Bhagavatam one day, you'll notice it. If you don't do it 2 days, then the people around you will notice it, and after 3 days, the whole world will know it, that you're in Maya. So, tasmad ekena manasa. This verse gives full permission. Tasmad, therefore, ekena manasa. Your mind can be fixed on one thing. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you do that, if you keep your mind fixed on Srimad Bhagavatam throughout your life, you won't be the losers. You'll get the highest gain. So that's a continuation of the first lesson. The second lesson is you have full permission to hear and chant with one point in attention, given to you by Krishna and all the acharyas. In the second canto, two one twelve, a verse that I very much like, and when I mention it in any context, including sometimes we do corporate programs, like Tuesday, we went to Salesforce and gave a talk to some of the employees there. And often we bring up this verse. Do you know which one it is? It's, does somebody have a, here, I can do it really quick. That's why I brought my computer. This is the verse in which Shukadev Goswami says, I'm looking for glasses, they're right here. That better a moment of full consciousness. Kim pramatasya bahubhi prayokshar hayanariha varam muhurtam viditam gatate shreyase yata. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that one, that gives one a start in searching after the supreme interest. So I particularly like this verse as a lesson, because the experience of Krishna consciousness is so profound that if someone's able to have even a fleeting moment of experience of the taste of hearing and chanting, the association of devotees, then this gives a person a start on developing further in devotional service. This is also important in the context of teaching Krishna consciousness to others. Oftentimes we meet people and we're able to perhaps talk to them only for a few minutes or even a few seconds, but the impression is made. When people see devotees, when they hear the holy name, even from a distance, they even say it one time, even if they're saying, would you Hare Krishnas please get out of here? All the shastras say that even a moment of awareness of Krishna, his form, his name, his devotees, can begin one's life of auspicity. And also, it's very encouraging in the sense that a little bit goes a long way. That we may chant, we may hear, we may not for some time experience great ecstasy in chanting. Tears may not flow from our eyes. Nonetheless, we may have moments of lucidity, of awareness of the fact that this is really nice. Any of these are important in our development in Krishna consciousness. Just even a fleeting moment of awareness of the importance of Krishna consciousness is so valuable. And that goes into an account that we have within our heart, and it registers. It's cumulative also. It all adds up. And before I go into any other lessons, let's just see if there's any reflections. Yes?
So you spoke about the power of hearing and how we can develop affinity to hear by serving great souls, and especially by preaching, showing compassion to others. And Prabhupada said that if we recite Bhagavatam at least one chapter a day, then we'll go back to
it. Nice. Thank you very much. There was a lot in that. Yeah, very good. Well done. Yes?
I have some reflections, a question. In 3.25, it says, then real devotional service begins. What does it mean by real devotional service? Like, what was happening before you started associating?
Well, sometimes these distinctions are made, just like the difference between a real devotee and a beginner devotee is, the beginner devotee is a prakriti bhakta. Is acharya me bahariye pujam ya shradiye hete na tad bhakti shuchanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. Prakrita smitaha, this is the beginner devotee who sees Krishna but doesn't recognize devotees or know how to do good for others is called a materialistic devotee. So this is kind of like a gratuity, like, okay, you can be counted. But not really. Then when one becomes a Madhyama Adhikari, then the person is described as being able to distinguish what is Krishna, what are the devotees, what are innocent people, what are envious people, and knows how to interact with them appropriately. And then this is, they're beginning to come to this, then they're considered actual devotees. So something like that. And there's, you know, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, you'll see that there's a distinction made between devotional service in practice and actual devotional service when in the stages when the emotion begins to flow. And one is practice. You've got training wheels on your bicycle. And later on, when past the stage of anartha nivritti and nishta and then ruchi, asakti bhava, these kinds of stages are considered, the category is different. This is like devotional service, bhakti proper, especially bhava, to come to the bhava stage, which is a prerequisite to come to prema. So there's gradations everywhere like that. Any other thing? Yes? Yes. Yes, it's very important to have one-pointed attention. Otherwise, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahu shaka hinantashta buddhayo avyavasayinam. He said, you won't, if you're not able to fix your minds on Krishna and the subject matter of devotional service, then bahushaka, then your mind will figure out millions of other things to think of. And it'll be distracted in many, many different ways. And then your determination will not be solidified. You won't have the determination to move forward. So it's important to practice focusing on devotional service. And there are many ways in which Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti in the Upadeshamrita talks about various qualities that help one to keep that focus. Be enthusiastic, utsahan nishchaya daryat, and be determined, and be patient, and then tells things that will take away your one-pointedness, like over-collecting. Atyahara. Ahara means eating, and ati means extreme. So it's like an Olympic sport, extreme eating. Extreme eating or extreme collecting, like living to eat instead of eating to live. Atyahara priyashascha, and getting attached to material things is the sure way of becoming distracted from your devotional practice. So all these various instructions are helping us to be one-pointed. What the devotees discover, though, is that they don't lack anything. When one becomes satisfied by seeing Krishna's form, then there's nothing else to see. This is the perfection of the eyes, the Shastra says. Or hearing the holy name, if one has the experience that I don't want to be anywhere else, I just want to be right here, I want to keep chanting, please don't disturb me, that's a good sign. This is Tasmad Ekena. And we can see for ourselves, very practically, sit down and chant, and the mind will say, can't you go, isn't there something else? And it's like, just leave me alone. You know, I wrote down in my book, I was thinking about this the other day when I was chanting. I stopped for a minute and I wrote, distraction is torture. Focus is nectar. You know, if you're able to focus on the right thing, even for a while, even for a few rounds, even for one round, if you can have that focus and just be absorbed in it. It's just like I remember in school. I distinctly remember being in Mr. Schumacher's class in junior high school, and there was something going on that I was just not interested in. And I was looking at the clock. There was 9 minutes to go, and I was thinking, when is this going to be over? And then I looked at it. I was trying to distract myself from anything but what he was saying. And then I looked again. I thought, surely the class is over. And I go, it's 8 minutes and 30 seconds. And I go, oh my God, this is horrible. It's torture. And if you're chanting and your mind goes somewhere else, and it's like, you know, why are you getting then you just feel tortured. But if you can cross that barrier, Tasmat Ekena Manasa, and fix your mind, and this, it helps to have Sambandha Gyan, to hear over and over again, what is the holy name? Why is sound vibration so powerful? And what about transcendental sound vibration? And what about the holy name? And what about the Maha Mantra? It's a formula that's non-different from Krishna. Narada Muni says in the fifth chapter of the first canto, iti murtya abhidanena mantra murtya mamurtikam yajite yagya purusham sasam yag darshana puman. He said, if you want the full darshan of Krishna, take the mantra. You'll see everything, you won't miss anything. And he said, this is the easy way to do it. Murti means form, and it also means difficulty. And amurtika means you'll see the form without difficulty. So if we hear things like this, we're cultivating this, then the mind can actually become a little mature and you know, cooperate. It's like, okay, this is the place to focus. So this practice in Vaidhi of focusing on hearing and the holy name and on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita is very important. So we have to do it every day, because we'll start to see also, like, let's say you have a vow to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, no matter what. Even if you start falling asleep and then you remember that you forgot, you have to jump back up again in the cold and read it somewhere with a flashlight if somebody else is sleeping in the room. You know, you just have to do it. And then oftentimes the mind will say, so last thing I want to do is read Bhagavad Gita right now. Tell me if you haven't had this experience. And then you sit down, because it's a regulation. I do Bhagavad Gita every day. And then you sit down and you start to read it and you go like, what are you talking about? This is fantastic. I love this. You know, it's satisfying. It's like, I don't want to be anywhere else. But the mind's always saying, go here, go there, go here. So in our practice of Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to have this experience again and again and again, so that we develop the strength that to have this Tasmat Ekena Manasa, this one-pointed attention on hearing and chanting. And when we actually go over the hump where we're able to have the mind cooperate with us, where the mind starts to think, yeah, this is nice, this is actually where I want to be, then we're very fortunate. And we feel it, we'll know it immediately. This is why in the verses describing the progression of bhakti, it says that the when the devotional service is scientifically understood, then it becomes very clear to the practitioner of what is truth and what is not truth. He sees it for him or herself and becomes situated solidly in devotional service. This is nishta. When the modes of nature no longer disturb us, the mind's not affected by rajas and tamas. And we can actually peacefully focus our mind. Tasmat ekena manasa. Very fortunate situation. So, then a few more lessons. Just a mention of a verse which I have not memorized, but what I would like to add into our repertoire of verses that we chant before we take prasadam by Sri Uddhava in the third canto. Maybe some of you know this verse, but he mentions that just by wearing the garlands that were worn by Krishna, just by taking the remnants of his food, just by using the things that he used, I will conquer over the material nature and come to the perfection of life. This is one of the beautiful verses in the third canto, among thousands of others. But it's a beautiful lesson that Krishna is a person, he uses all kinds of things, and the devotees delight in taking the remnants of what Krishna has used. In fact, they offer everything to him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his diary, writes about some of the vows that he's taken in his own personal life, and one of them is to never use anything that isn't first offered to Krishna. Whatever he gets, cloth, he always offers it to Krishna, and the utensils he has, they're things that Krishna already used, so he uses them and so forth. It's a very sweet lesson of bhakti, is to live in proximity of Krishna and use the things that he's used and to offer everything to him, make him the center, that these are all your things, I'm just using them after you use them, with your permission. Then, yes?
What's that verse number?
I don't have it on the top of my head.
Oh.
I'll find it later, I think. Yeah, I was just on the verge of finding it. I was doing a search. It's in there, third canto. I could take a moment now, but I don't dare do that because it will kind of break the flow. Fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the prayers that Prithu Maharaj makes to the Lord. They're very sweet. In fact, surprisingly, this fourth canto is, I'm just skipping right over the third canto, but, you know, this is a short session we're having and there's so much to say. But in the fourth canto, when Prithu Maharaj is offering his prayers to the Lord, one of his prayers particularly always catches my attention, and that is, he says that just as the sun, young sun, isn't equipped to know what's good for him, so he defers to the Father and says, "My Father, you please tell me." So in the same way, he says, "Krishna, I don't even know what to pray for. So you, I'm putting it to you. Whatever you think is good for me in my life, you please do that." People pray for all kinds of things. He said, "Please let me pass my exam," or whatever it is. These are petty things. But Prithu Maharaj shows the example of how to pray properly. And he says, "Krishna, I put it in your hands. You decide what's good for me. And then just do that." That's a very daring thing to do, isn't it? He's a political. "Krishna, you decide. I leave it to you." But this mood, coming towards this mood of putting everything in Krishna's hands and making that one's prayer. "You decide whatever you like. That your agenda, that's my agenda." This is one of the great moods of devotional service and a great lesson that we can take from Prithu Maharaj and that he pray in the way he prays to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Keep going? Okay. Fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the story of Bharat Maharaj, who goes to the forest with the full intention of achieving perfection in devotional service. And he almost does. Indications there that he's in the beginning stages of bhava. His heart is softening. Tears are coming from his eyes as he's chanting his mantra. His mantra was to the Lord within the sun. And he was taking bath, practicing Ashtanga there in the forest. And then he got distracted by a deer one day as the mother heard a lion and then jumped to try to get away, crossed the river, had a miscarriage, a little fawn came out, mother died, and Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed with compassion for the little deer and brought it back to his ashram and then raised it and then got attached to it. And then he died and became a deer in his next life. So in analyzing that chapter, Prabhupada points out a couple of things in his purports. One is that the reason that Bharat Maharaj fell down, one reason was misplaced compassion. He says misplaced compassion. So the Bhagavatam is very sobering also. Although it is a book which is a very feeling book, because it's about the natural emotion of the soul, it is very precise in determining what's actual compassion of the soul and what is actual and what is a diversion into the material energy. And this story is one of those. Of course, there are many more. Many more indications of this. Twice in the Bhagavatam, there's a story of the Kalinga birds. The Kalinga birds are brought up. You want to hear the story of the Kalinga birds? Are you sure? Okay. You made me do it. So one day there was Kalinga birds, a mother and a father, and they had a nest full of little babies. And so they were intent on taking care of them. And I've seen this. I saw a couple of pigeons, I guess, when I was staying at the guest house in Delhi, just outside my window. They're making a real racket out there. I looked out there and I watched what they were doing. They were going up on the railing, and then they jumped down, and then each come back with a piece of straw in their mouth, and they were building a little nest under the air conditioner up there. And they built a little house off to Home Depot and back to build their little nest. And so anyway, these Kalinga birds did the same thing, and they had a nice little scene going on, a nest full of little baby Kalinga birds. And they went out to get some food for them, and they came back, and the unthinkable happened. A net, the hunter was there, and he had netted all the little baby birds. And so the mother bird saw what was happening, and she flew into the nest and was also caught in the net. And then the male Kalinga bird was so overcome with grief that he blacked out. He just stood there. And the cruel hunter drew his bow and put the arrow through his heart. The end. Did you like the story? Yay! That's heavy. I mean, we used to distribute books all the time. We distribute Krishna books. Yeah, these are nature books. They talk about harmony and everything. They open the book, there's Krishna slashing somebody's head off. And these books are a little bit abrupt sometimes in describing, you know, what is misplaced compassion in the material world. This stuff happens. You're not your body and so forth. This is all intertwined, especially in the first nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to prepare us for separating ourselves from our emotional attachments to the material world. And so Bharat Maharaj is a good example of somebody who's a serious practitioner, and he deviates just a little bit, and then he's diverted for a long time, several lifetimes. Two more lifetimes before he's able to go back home, back to Godhead. But another lesson in that pastime is how kind Krishna is. And that is that whatever progress we make, he preserves. So even as he leaves his body as Bharat Maharaj and takes the body of a deer, which is astounding how in his next life as a deer, he remembers the whole thing. And he even, as a deer, goes back to the Palashta ashram and practices Ashtanga. And I would like to see the picture of a little deer doing Ashtanga yoga. But he did it. And then in his next life, he became the great Jadbara. And this pastime and many like it are full of lessons for the practitioner in bhakti yoga. But one of the main ones is don't divert your compassion to the material world. And there's a practical description of how this is to be understood, which is given in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions that Narada gives about Varnashrama. And especially he's talking about grihasthas. So in this section he says that grihasthas are required to show intense affection to their family members. Because one might mistake this and think, therefore, I will be indifferent and cold and distant from my friends and relatives. And this will be a sign of spiritual advancement, given this lesson from Bharat Maharaj and the Kalinga birds. However, Narada said this is not the way it works. He says, internally you may cultivate that because of a higher perspective of knowledge. But externally, you must show a full love and affection for your family members, otherwise you'll starve them, and it'll be cruel and unusual. So you have to operate on these two levels. This is another important lesson from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a higher level of renunciation than this false renunciation of simply withholding emotion or affection from family members and loved ones in the name of spiritual advancement. To be able to work simultaneously as a person who is integrated in the world, holistically integrated, and is able to keep proper relationships with people in this world, including even you have to go to work, and you have to, Prabhupada writes in that section, and somebody has to go to work, you have to associate with even non-devotees. And he says, they'll say, this and that, and you say, yes, very nice, sir, very good, sir. But internally, you're like, there's no connection. You just do it because that's one of the realms that we have to operate on. This is expounded upon by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Jiva Dharma, where he talks about Paramartika and Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika means the practical way in which we have to have integrated relationships in the material world. For instance, if you go for a job interview and they ask you where you're from, you go, Goloka Vrindavan, and that's it. That's my final answer. Then they'll just kick you out. But if you go there and say, no, I was born in, where's that place? Reading. And see, I'm learning about it. And you know, you tell, on that level, you have to be straightforward in ordinary dealings. But on another level, you're fully aware that I have no part of this. This is something that is going on externally. So this is one of the lessons from Bharat Maharaj. And now we have just 5 more minutes left. So, and how did I know that? Because my wife tapped her watch, and that was the signal. I'm not psychic at all. No, it's not a fault. I'm very much appreciating it, keeping it on track. I'd like to mention I mentioned outreach and giving compassion to others, showing compassion to others as a way to attract Krishna's mercy and as a way to develop a desire, a deeper and deeper desire to hear and chant from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of the ways that one can do that is to give people the gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was one of the deep desires of Srila Prabhupada that the Bhagavatam become popularized in society. He saw it as a means to re-spiritualize the world, the proliferation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is no better service than the proliferation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in my humble opinion. And we are in a perfect situation to be able to assist that in one way or another. And one of the ways that we conceived of doing this in Silicon Valley, where I come from, is to go door to door, shop to shop, person to person, friend to friend, and just present them the Srimad Bhagavatam and tell them what it is and ask them to take it. And what do you think happens when we do that?
Take it.
Not always. But some people take it. And what do you think would happen if we didn't do that at all? How many approximately would take it?
Nobody.
Approximately zero. So the surprising thing is a lot more people than you'd think take it. And a lot more people, or the people you expect wouldn't take it, take it. I was at a home in Illinois recently. We actually cheated because we found a devotee who had he was a real estate agent. He had a list of where all the kind of people we wanted to talk to lived. So we were very strategic. We drove around. It was funny. We drive into a neighborhood. We pull up right at a house, and we walk up to there, and they think, were we expecting somebody, dear? Because there's like five people here at the door. We came right for their door, not the other doors. And we went in one house, and the woman already had a spiritual practice. She pointed out she had a special room. She had Lord Shiva in there. And it was some group, I don't know, some guru, and she was very dedicated to it. And she already knew everything and not that interested. Fine, come in, but, you know, we're good. Then she also warned me, she said, and my husband's an atheist, so don't even bother. So we went in and we were talking, and the other devotees that were with me didn't follow the protocol that we had discussed in the beginning. Let one person talk, and the rest of everybody just listened. So as we got into the living room, and there were more people in the family in there talking, pandemonium broke out, because the people in my group, they just started talking to everybody, and instead of, you know, keeping it focused. And then I just like, oh, forget it, you know. So I just kind of stepped to the side. And then I saw the man of the house, the so-called atheist. And so I just made friends with him. And I didn't even try too hard. You know, I just like, I was just a heart-to-heart. And we were sort of isolated from the pandemonium, everyone talking, the woman who was obviously wasn't going to take and was telling all the reasons why she already knew everything. And I've heard this kind of thing before, and I knew the kind of energy, so I was like, just, it's all right. And so I was talking to the guy. And, you know, he started asking me questions about the Bhagavatam, why I was doing this, why I dedicated my life to this as an American. He was an Indian, a wealthy businessman. And, you know, so I told him, and then all of a sudden he goes, I'll take it. And his wife from across the room heard him, and he goes, what? He goes, yeah, we'll take it. She goes, okay, we'll take it. And I was going, what? And I was just seeing that, you know, if we act as instruments, a Krishna can do anything. It's up to him. We just do the best we can to go out and present the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no better thing to present in this world. You can sell soap. You can sell cars. You can sell land. It's all junk in the end, because it doesn't mean anything. But if you sell one Srimad Bhagavatam somewhere, that's everything. That's huge. That goes on your eternal record and theirs, and it causes a huge atomic wave that goes across the universe. One Srimad Bhagavatam set going out. So we emphasized this at our community, and the devotees, you know, kind of went mad. They went running everywhere to sell Bhagavatam sets and started selling them here, there, and everywhere. And Krishna started teaching them how to do it from within their hearts. And they got really good at it. And then they came back to me a few years later and they said, you know, we talked to everybody. There isn't anybody else. I said, now we have to go deeper. So I said, we'll start a new program where instead of selling the Bhagavatam, we're selling the opportunity to sell the Bhagavatam. And then that's when Go Matsya was born. So Go Matsya, because Matsya saved the Vedas. And our motto is preservation, we're preserving the Vedas, Matsya. Preservation through mass distribution and education. And so that's what we do. And when we go in, now even if people already have the Bhagavatam, so we're not selling you the Bhagavatam, we're selling you the opportunity to sell the Bhagavatam and be part of this historic thing. And then you see them light up. It's like, yeah, I want to be part of this. I want to sign up and be part of this. And so we have three levels. One level is people come in as an advocate. They just get a Bhagavatam set and they say, yeah, this is really good. And the second level is they're distributors. And that means they go out and find three more people who will take. And the top level is called an organizer. And they get other distributors and advocates. You get the idea. It's Amway, but for Krishna. So, Tupperware. So it works. It turns out it works. And it's spreading all over the world. And it's come here. Devesh and Vrindarika have taken this up as a main focus in their life to help spread this. And everybody at the manor is like, yeah, this is the greatest program we ever heard of. Let's do it. And so there it is. So I endorse this program. I highly recommend it, especially for devotees who are reading the Bhagavatam. Go out and give it to other people too. And you'll enhance your situation, just as when you have rice, which is good food, and dal, which is a good food, and you put them together, according to Jamuna's cookbook on the section on rice, you get 42% more nutrition when they're together. Synergy. Same thing. When you read the Bhagavatam, good. Strip Bhagavatam, good. Put them together, great. The two things together. That's a lifestyle to aspire for. Go Premanande Hari Go. Thank you. Now, I have a few parting gifts for you all. Not that you have to go home. But one is an offer for anybody. It's a free offer, but it does require major sacrifice from this day forward and the rest of your life. In your life. And a membership fee. Yeah. Okay, so this is called CHAD. This is a bona fide organization. This is an underground subversive organization, but it's bona fide. And this is devotees all around the world, it's international, who have made a vow, personal vow in their life, to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, at least. And you can do just the Sanskrit or just the English or the Sanskrit and English. That's the minimum. And you have to do it every day. So you can get this card. It's like a credit card. You can use it anywhere, I think. You can put your name on it and the date that you started, and then start your new life. Because once you start doing a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you'll never be the same. So if you have it in mind that I'd like to try this. What's that?
Some of them are already doing it.
Some are already doing it.
But okay. You can take the card this time.
Yeah, if you're already doing it, you can get your card. And if you'd like to start off, you can get one of these cards. Okay? So that's one. The second is, every year we come out with a new band to remind devotees everywhere that we're unified in distributing transcendental knowledge all over the world. So we have these bands, and on this year's bands says Nitai Gauranga. So you got the transcendental holy name on your wrist. There's a new message every year. But if you dare to wear this around and people go, oh, you're with that Nitai Gauranga group, then you can wear this band and we'll give out the band. And finally, we have these Gomatsya pamphlets, and you can read up on the Gomatsya project. And if it interests you and you'd like to get involved, you can talk to Devesh or Vrindarika, and they'll tell you exactly how to get involved with Gomatsya.
So we have the Bhadra campaign, which is coming on 24th of September, where there is a verse in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, 13th verse, which says that on the full moon day of the Bhadra, if somebody gives a set of Bhagavatam on a golden throne, you get a gift of going back to Godhead. And then, can you just get the throne from the Sankirtan store? I'm just passing these out. They have a contact detail, so I'm sure each one of us from between now to September at least can find one person who we can give to or can refer to, will get this benefit, and you will get the benefit of going back to Godhead. So if you can just take a flyer and pass it on to everybody. And as His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu said, we are always looking for devotees to help us. We every Sunday have a table for 4 hours, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. We are trying to go out on Friday evenings, and we are looking for some volunteers to come forward and help us in this project of taking Bhagavatam. So this is the throne, which is there, where you can... yes. So you can have the Bhagavatam sit on it like this. So they get a throne along with the whole set of Bhagavatam if they take the set. So please, if you like to help us in this service, because we want to take this to... Prabhupada said every respectable person should have a set of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we want to expand it in UK. Yesterday we were at Reading, they want to start the project. We're going to Leicester on Sunday, they want to start it. Birmingham wants to start it. Manchester wants to start it. So we really want to do a full explosion, especially for the Bhadra as we come. These are beautiful magnets which you can stick on your stickers, which will remind you that how many people have you referred until between now and September.
You said stick on your stickers, stick on your refrigerator.
On your refrigerator.
Of course, you could stick them on other stickers. They're magnets. You can put it on your refrigerator, tell everyone in the family, nothing to eat until we sell a set of Bhagavatams.
So please get involved. On this Saturday, we will have the opportunity, those of you who want to participate, we are having a monthly Sankirtan festival at Bhaktivedanta Manor, where His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu will be taking us out on book distribution.
Oh yeah, come on out. It's really fun. We're just going out for a few hours, and I'll show you a method of distributing books that's fun and easy, and I'll teach you a method by which you can sell a Bhagavad Gita to anyone, anywhere, at any time. I guarantee you. And you don't have to do anything if you come out. You just have to like to have fun and walk around and watch and stuff like that. So don't worry about performing or having to do anything. No pressure at all.
So that's at 10 o'clock and we meet in the main temple hall at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we will have a training session for an hour with Prabhuji. And then we will go out for book distribution in Watford Town Center. And then we meet in the park at Kashubari Park at 3:30 for realizations and reflections of how did it go. And we will collect the scores, which we'll offer it to Srila Prabhupada, and then we are back at the temple. So that's one way you can all get engaged in the activity of going out on Sankirtan and book distribution. And finally, His Grace Vaishoshika Prabhu wrote a beautiful book, which is now in the third printing by BBD. It's called Our Family Business. It's a book which has changed my life ever since I read that book. I'm no more the same person, because that book not only taught me the principle of high sadhana, which is, you know, as he said, by practicing our spiritual life strongly and developing the spirit of compassion, it's a very good combination when we put that together. So if anyone of you like to have a copy, I have few copies available. They're only for £10, and I have few copies here. You can take a copy before you go if you do not have that book. It's a must read. There are devotees like His Holiness Shivram Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj. They highly recommend. They have such wonderful recommendation written. And this book doesn't belong to Vaishoshika Prabhu. The rights are being given to BBD. So the score of the books being distributed, they go to Bhaktivedanta Manor. So you can take a book before you leave. And at last, I'd like to thank you, Guru Maharaj, for giving us this opportunity.
It's been a real pleasure to be here. The strength in numbers that you have in hearing and chanting, and leadership that you're exhibiting by showing the example to go on hearing and chanting together as the panacea for all the ills in life. This is the only solution. Thank you very much for all that you're doing. Sadhu, sadhu.
Friday evening is the Mahasangha at the temple, which is tomorrow, with His Grace Vaishoshika Prabhu, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj. Can't get better than that. So all three of them will be together.
And Sutapa.
And Sutapa Prabhu, yes. His Grace Sutapa Prabhu, yes. So it would be a nice evening to look forward to. Thank you very much for coming. The prasadam, I would like to thank Neha Mataji for offering our house. On the first floor, she has prepared the prasadam with the help of other devotees. So it will be served in flat number 30. All you have to do is probably not even take your shoes. You can just walk down to flat 30 and the prasadam will be served for all of you there. Thank you for coming.
Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Lanchakov the Rusha, Kripa Sindhabe Vacha, Patitanam Pavanibyo, Vaishnavibyo, Namo Namaha, Sharira Vijaja, Jodendriya Taheka, Jibe Pele, Vishaya Shabhare, Tarma Jijibayati, Loba moisu durmati Take jeta katita shamshare Krishna bodha dayama Kari bare jihva jai Shaprasharana dilo bai Shayanam Vritapa Radha Krishna Gunaga Premedako Shri Chaitanya Nita Premedako Shri Chaitanya Nita Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Sapapunya Vatam Rajan Vishwaso Navijay Prasade Sarvadvika Nam Hani Rasyo Pujayate Prasana Cheta Soyashu Bhidi Parya Vatishtate Bhagavat Sri Mahaprasade Ki Gopri Manande
Armarman Natari Armarman Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.